How you guys doing this morning? Good. It's good to be back with you. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Hope you enjoyed celebrating with your family. I hope your family put the fun that's in dysfunction. Hope your family was able to do that. If you went crazy shopping, Black Friday shopping, and you have a crazy story, catch me in the Next Steps area. If you got tased, show me the video. Want to see that. But what we're doing is we're wrapping up one holiday and we're kind of pointing our lives to the next one. And you know this, that it's just 29 more days till Christmas. So get your shopping done, right? But we're going to kick off one time and we're time together by talking about one particular word. And it's this word right here. It's called ingratitude. Ingratitude. In fact, very few things sting in a relationship like feeling unappreciated. And the reason this stings is because it's really the exact opposite of what we would expect. It's the exact opposite of what we think that we deserve. And so you do something for somebody, right? You serve them, you're kind to them, you kind of put yourself out of the way for them, you sacrifice for them, you raise them, you birth them, you marry them, you hire them, like whatever it is. But you've given them something that they didn't earn and probably don't deserve. You do something for them, and it just makes sense that they would have a little something coming back your way, that you deserve a little something coming back your way. What do you get? Nothing. Nothing. That's ingratitude. And it will sting a relationship. It will hurt a relationship. In fact, ingratitude, it can be words that are said or words that are never said. Ingratitude can be behaviors that somebody exhibits or a lack of behavior. Either way, ingratitude, it will sting. And the reality is we've been on both sides of this, haven't we? In fact, here's kind of the crazy thing about ingratitude. The recipient of ingratitude is always aware of it, right? Like if you're in a relationship with someone and they are ungrateful, you feel it, you know it. No one has to tell you, you are aware of it. But the kind of crazy thing is the ungrateful person is rarely aware of it. I mean, isn't that true? Things could be going fine and then out of the blue, someone will accuse you or I of being ungrateful. And I could ask you to raise your hands if you've ever been accused of being ungrateful, but the reality is I could just ask, have you ever been 13? Right? We've all been accused of being ungrateful. And here's the strange thing about ingratitude or about somebody accusing you or accusing me of being ungrateful. It's almost impossible to see in ourselves because when somebody says, I just feel like you're ungrateful, the very first thing we think is, no, we're not. We're grateful. Right? And immediately we begin to think about all of the gratitude that we probably do have. And in our head, we always win that argument but the problem is that we felt grateful, but we just have never expressed those feelings. I mean, it's ingratitude. It's almost impossible to see in ourselves. And that's why it will sting a relationship because the person that feels unappreciated is most of the time appreciated. But we've been appreciating them so secretly, they don't even know. See how good you are at this? And this is so important. Even if you never decide to follow Jesus, I think you should listen to what Jesus says about this whole thing because gratitude and ingratitude, it will affect our relationships. And if we are seen as grateful, it will play out in our relationship. And the problem is if we're seen as ungrateful, even when we don't see it, even when we are grateful, we just didn't express it, that will affect our relationships as well. Now, if you grew up in church, I'm going to take you to a passage of scripture that you probably heard about as a kid, but you probably haven't heard anything since. So if you have your Bible or a mobile device, turn to Luke chapter 17. Luke 17 is in the middle of our Bible. If you have the New Testament, it's Matthew, Mark, Luke. And we're going to be reading through the New Testament this next year, starting in January. And if you've never read through the New Testament or if you've never finished reading through the New Testament, we have a plan next year, so be looking for that. But Luke chapter 17. And if you're not a Jesus follower, I think you would like Luke. Because at one point in his life, Luke wasn't a Jesus follower either. But he hears about Jesus, and he actually becomes a follower of Jesus. And at the beginning of his letter, in Luke, he says, let me tell you why I wrote this. I kept hearing all of these stories about Jesus. I kept meeting people who knew Jesus. I kept hearing all of this life-shaping, faith-changing stuff about Jesus. So I decided to investigate it. I decided to interview people. I decided to put it all together in this account we find in Luke. So Luke knew the people who Jesus knew. Luke actually interviewed people that Jesus knew, and he lived at the same time that Jesus did, but we're not sure if Luke and Jesus ever actually met. But in Luke chapter 17, Luke records this interaction with Jesus and people, and then he records a question from Jesus that speaks into the tension of gratitude and ingratitude. Luke chapter 17, verse 11. It says, now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. So Galilee is way up north and Jerusalem is way down south. And the distance is about 106 miles, just one way. And right in the middle of this whole thing is Samaria. Now, the quickest way is to cut through Samaria, but good Jews did not do that because the Jews and the Samaritans didn't get along. So Jesus and his boys, they travel along the border. And they journey together and they're walking around the border. And as Jesus was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. Now, leprosy in Jesus' day was a terrible, incurable disease. They believed it to be contagious. And so if you contracted leprosy, they would kick you out of the family, kick you out of the house, kick you out of the town, kick you out of the church. Because leprosy was isolating and debilitating. It would damage the nerves of your skin, your respiratory system. Often you would lose your eyesight. And since you would lose your sense of feeling, it was way easier to injure yourself and make it even worse. And people were so afraid of this disease that they would put the people that they loved who had leprosy outside of the society. This was like a long-term death sentence. And people thought if you contracted leprosy, it was actually a sign of God's punishment. So in some way, you must have done something to deserve this. Now, if you had this disease, you might live a long time, but every single day you were reminded that you didn't fit in, that you would never belong. And so these 10 guys, they find each other, they create their own little community outside the village, and they see Jesus coming. And so by law, they're required to stay 150 feet away from everyone else. So at a distance, they call out, Jesus, Messiah, have pity on us. Jesus, Messiah, have pity on us. Now, generally in a situation like this, Jesus would actually go to the sick person. We have instances where he went and touched a leper. And it was so moving for the leper. But if you were watching Jesus and you were a follower of Jesus, you're like, no, Jesus, don't do that. Like, you might get it. Do you know what you're doing? But in Luke chapter 17, Jesus does something unusual for Jesus. Jesus yells. He yells back at him, go show yourself to the priest, right? And they're like, what did he say? I don't know, something about a feast. He's like, no, go show yourself to the priest. And like, oh, that makes way more sense, right? And they go running off to the priest and Jesus goes on to the village. Now, a little more background. The Old Testament law said that if a person was sick with certain diseases like leprosy, they had to go outside of the camp and outside of the city, but if a person got well, they had to go and show themselves to the priest. And the priest, if they passed, they would give them a clean bill of health. Now, just imagine you're the priest and 10 guys show up. Not one guy, 10 guys show up saying, hey, we've been healed of leprosy. That's going to make an impression. That's going to be like a mind grenade. You got to be thinking like, how did this happen? Where did you go? Who did you talk to? What did you touch? You know, like guys, listen, let me try to understand this. All 10 of you had leprosy, and then you started running here, and now you don't have leprosy? And they're like, not quite, like kinda. Like, okay, well, tell me what happened. Well, we yelled at this guy, and he yelled back, and then we started running here. That's how it happened. Like, it's kind of just crazy to think about, but the reality is, That even their travel to Jerusalem was really an extraordinary expression of faith, because Jerusalem would have been a 2 or 3 day journey. So this isn't like walking to your car. You know, this is not walking to football field. Like you know, and they have to be wondering this whole journey is, am I being set up for rejection again? Are they just going to kick me out again? And maybe you know how this account goes, but Luke tells us how it happened. It says, as they went, they were what? Cleansed. Now, I don't know if this is like an hour one, an hour six, you're cleansed. I don't know if like, I can feel my face. I can feel my neck until it goes all the way down to my toes. And that little piggy went all the way home. Like I know somewhere along the way on their way to Jerusalem, they were healed. And some time went by and Jesus, he goes on to travel in a village and then they head to Jerusalem. But Luke records that at some point along the way, these 10 men realize we've been healed. And this is where their story and the account of their story actually interacts with our story and the topic that we have today. It says one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he came back. So on the way to the priest, they're being healed. And can you just picture it? Like on their way, they're high-fiving each other. They're running. Like they get to be with their family again. They get their lives back. And the quicker we get to the priest, the quicker we get back to our lives. Jesus just changed our lives. But one of them turned around. And we don't know when they turned around, hour one, hour six, the next day. We don't know. But one of them, when they realize that they had been healed, turns around and they come back to Jesus, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a what? A Samaritan, a hated person in Jesus' day from the Jews' perspective. So this is not a parable. This is a real life account. And the very one that had a conflict with the Jewish people is the only one that actually turned around to thank a Jewish Jesus. And here's what he did. He went back to thank the one who enabled him to move forward with his life. So he just got his life back. And so what does he do? He turns back and he thanks the one who allowed him to move his forward with his life. And this is where every single one of us, no matter what you've accomplished on your own, no matter how talented you are, no matter how hard you work, no matter how ambitious you've been, no matter how disciplined you are in your life or what you've accomplished, every single one of us can look in the rearview mirror of our lives and there will be people who helped us to get to where we are today. There are people that assisted with our forward progress or our success. And all of us have people behind us that made what we're doing in this moment possible. And so this Samaritan, who doesn't even like the Jews, goes back to a Jewish Jesus. And Jesus, he asks this question that just cuts to the heart or cuts to the core of gratitude and ingratitude. Jesus asks, were not all 10 cleansed? I mean, if I'm Jesus, I'm like, come on, guys. I think he says, tongue in cheek, did this miracle not work? Are you the only one? And then he says, where are the other 9? In other words, guys, there's something missing. There's something wrong with this picture. There's something unfinished. Now, we've all experienced kind of this interaction in real life. If you've ever attended a kid's birthday party, right? Like a little Timmy, he tears into the gifts and he's so excited. He doesn't pause. He just grabs the next gift and starts tearing it in. But before he's allowed to really do anything, what does his mom do? He reminds Timmy, now what do we say? Your mom ever said, what do we say? And it's like, until we can complete this cycle right here, right? All right, until it's unfinished. So what do we say? And everyone knows what we're supposed to say. We're supposed to say what? Thank you. Thank you. So if there's not an expression of gratitude, something's wrong. Something's missing. And we know this is a big deal when we're raising our kids. And we know this is a big deal when we give a gift to somebody else. But in our lives as adults with people that get this, most of the time we really do appreciate. Most of them we really do love. The people that really have allowed us to move further, faster because of their investment in our life. Somehow we miss this. Somehow we miss that there's something missing. Something unfinished. Something that's incomplete. And whether it's pride or busyness, we just keep moving forward. I want you to look at how Jesus finishes out this account. Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go, your faith. Your faith you showed by obeying me, by obeying what I commanded you to do. You obeyed me even when you were sick. You obeyed me even when you thought God was paying you back, but you heard my words and you obeyed them. That faith has made you what? Well. Now, if we were to read this account in isolation, my immediate response would be like, how ungrateful. I can't believe they didn't thank God. And part of me, the dark part of me, wonders, hey, wouldn't it be ironic if they somehow got leprosy again? I mean, how could anyone be so ungrateful? How could anyone do something like that? But if I thought that, I would be unfair. In fact, in the Gospels, right, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there are lots of events recorded where the person that was healed and the person that was helped and the person that had their lives forever changed by Jesus, they never say thank you. Not only that, but if we were actually to track these guys down, do you really think that they were ungrateful? I mean, they just got their lives back. They just got their families back. If we track them down, say, hey, wait, guys, hey, are you grateful for what Jesus did for you? What do you think they'd say? Yeah, we're grateful. I mean, couldn't you hear us yelling? Couldn't you hear us cheering? Like, we were high-fiving each other. Our souls, our hearts, our minds, they're filled with gratitude. But the problem is this is where, like, we mess up. This is where I mess up, is I'm grateful. I just don't always express it. There's people in our life, there's people in your life that helped you move forward, but we just didn't go back. And Jesus asks, we're not all 10 cleansed? Something's wrong. Something's incomplete. Something's unfinished. And this is so difficult to see in ourselves, but it is so easy to see in this account. Here's the truth. Unexpressed gratitude communicates ingratitude. Unexpressed gratitude actually communicates ingratitude. And this dynamic affects every relationship that you're in. Our relationships are never neutral. Our relationships, for good or for bad, unexpressed gratitude will communicate ingratitude. So this is a withdrawal. I mean, think about it this way. If you feel gratitude, you're truly thankful, but you never express it, all the people that you love and care for, all they're left to feel is what? Ingratitude. But it's worse than that. It goes deeper than that because unexpressed gratitude is actually experienced as what? Rejection. Isn't that how you've experienced it? Isn't that true in your own life? You've experienced it as rejection? And so when we don't express it, we come across as entitled. We come across as we think we deserve everything. And you'll say, well, she's my mom or he's my dad. They're supposed to do that, right? They're my employee. I pay them. They owe me. I don't owe them anything. Do you hear it? Over time, unexpressed gratitude begins to feel like rejection. And this is why this is so important. Our hearts, my heart, your heart, our hearts gravitate towards what? Acceptance. Like we could be so, so different, but our hearts, this is true for all of us, our hearts gravitate towards acceptance. And this is why, single people, please don't miss this. Younger people, please hear this. This is why we gravitate towards people who don't always have our best interest in mind. Why? Our hearts will gravitate towards acceptance. And not only that, our hearts are repelled by what? Rejection. Even if it's just a perceived rejection, even if it's they just didn't communicate it, it's experienced as rejection. And our hearts will always be repelled by rejection. And that means that we can unexpress gratitude to someone right out of our house. Get this, even when we're truly grateful for them. We can unexpress gratitude to someone right out of a relationship or out of a job or out, you know, like we can, over time, unexpressed gratitude will affect our relationships. And this is why no matter what you believe, we have to do something about this. It's not enough just to feel it. You've got to express it. It's not enough just to talk about it or tell your neighbor or somebody else about it. It's not enough to say, well, I'm an introvert. Dude, that's not a good excuse. They know how I feel. I told them 20 years ago, not a good excuse. Now, if you're still arguing with me in your head, I'm gonna probably make you mad, but I so want you to have a good relationship with the people you care about. I'm willing to risk what I'm gonna tell you next. You ready? Unexpressed gratitude may indicate an inflated view of self. You are thankful, but you're withholding. Why? To keep them in their place. You are thankful, but you think that that's what they get paid for. You are thankful, but look at all we've done for them. Unexpressed gratitude, it may indicate a self-inflated view of self. There's this sense of they owe me. They owe me. They owe me. And so we're unwilling to close the loop. We're okay if there's something missing. We're okay if there's something unfinished. We're okay if it's incomplete. But Jesus would ask me and you, where are the other nine? Where are the other nine? Express gratitude is what Jesus' followers are supposed to do, or it's to close the loop. Think about it this way. Anytime someone does something for you, this loop is incomplete until they receive something from you. It's not enough just to think about it. It's not enough just to feel it. No, you have to express it. And here's the crazy thing. Again, if you found these nine guys, when they went to the priest, and he said, hey, guys, are you grateful? We know what their response would be. Yeah, we're grateful. We got our lives back. We got our families back. We'll be eternally grateful for Jesus. They just never went back to express it. Now, quick time out, just self-reflection. In your relationships that you deem most important, the people in your life that you care about the most, do they know how grateful you are? Have the people that you care about, have they heard how grateful you are for them? Because if not, it's just a matter, it doesn't matter what you believe. If not, it will negatively affect your relationship with them. Why? Because there are no neutral relationships. So they either know that we are grateful or they feel like we are ungrateful. We are either communicating acceptance or we're communicating rejection. And so have we taken the time? Have you taken the time to do what that one Samaritan leper did? Well, what did he do? He went back to thank the one who enabled him to move forward with his life. Now you might say, Josh, don't tell me what to do. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm saying you get to choose. You get to choose. Are you gonna be the one or are you gonna be like the nine? Choice is yours. It's not enough to feel it. We have to express it. Now there's other people under the sound of my voice, they're gonna struggle with this because you're gonna like go out to the car, you're gonna log off victory everywhere. You're gonna like later on, sometime today, you're gonna be like, you're gonna feel like, I should say something. But you'll argue with yourself and you say, well, if I do that, she is gonna say the only reason I said anything is because that stupid preacher, right? That's what's gonna happen. And then you're gonna think, and no one tells me what to do or how to live my life, so I'll express it tomorrow or next week or next year, not now. And guys, if you hear that, that's pride. That's pride. And just another two quick things to say about that. First, especially ladies, if someone you love says thank you, if someone who cares about you and you care about them, they're in a relationship and they're trying to make it better and they take this small step to express gratitude, don't rub it in. Don't hold it over them. Close the loop. Be thankful for them. What's rewarded is repeated. Close the loop. Number two, if you're arguing with me in your head, think about this, okay? If you are unwilling to communicate gratitude today to the people that you say you actually love and care about, ingratitude will only sting the relationship even more. They're only gonna feel even more unappreciated. Here's what they're gonna think. What's it gonna take for them to say anything? So this is for the ones you care about. This is for the ones you love, you say you love. This is, if you have to wait till everyone thinks it's your idea, that's pride talking. And so here's the application for today, if you're ready for it. I want you to just ask yourself some of these questions. Who do you take for granted? Well, Josh, they're supposed to. They're my boss, or they're my parents, or they're my kids, or I told them 20 years ago. I'm like, who do you take for granted? Who do you need to close the loop with? Like, they've done their part, you're grateful in your heart, but when you look back, there's just something that's kind of incomplete, undone. You never communicated. You never closed the loop. And lastly, who are you grateful for? I mean, as you look at your life, who are you grateful for? As you look back at your life, who are you grateful for? Who has helped you do or become who you are today? But they just have never really heard how you feel. Now, for some of us, from the people in our past, like we don't even have relationships with them anymore. In fact, some of us don't even know where those people are anymore. But you think, boy, if it hadn't been for her, if it hadn't been for him, if it hadn't been for the opportunity they gave me, if she hadn't given me that first job, if he hadn't put up with me when nobody else would, when you tell the story about your success or whatever it is that's allowed you to get to where you are this moment, they are a part of your story. And you've never thanked them in any kind of official way. So here's a little bit of homework this week. I got a homework assignment. In the next week, I want you to let the people in your life know how grateful you are for them. We have these thank you cards that are underneath the chairs in front of you or in the racks in front of you. And if you'd like to take one, or maybe you need to take 10, but take some of these cards and close the loop. And maybe it's writing a simple thank you card. Maybe it's a phone call. Maybe it's a text message. Maybe it's every morning you just wake up and roll over and go, thank you for being awesome. You know, or maybe you sit around the dinner table and you just thank God for every person. You let them know, let the people in your life know how grateful you are for them. And here's the kicker. It's not enough to do it once. This needs to be a habit. This needs to be a routine. And one more thing, as I'm giving you advice, the more detail, the better. Don't just text, thanks, mom, you're awesome. No, the more detail, the better. Be specific. The more detail, the better. Even if you never decide to follow Jesus, I want to challenge you to do this. Why? Because you will benefit from it. Your relationships will benefit from it. The people you love will benefit from it, because our relationships are never neutral. They're either getting stronger or weaker. And if you feel gratitude, you are truly thankful, like, but you never express it. All the people on the other side of us are left to feel is in gratitude. And Jesus would say to you what he says to them, where are the other nine? Where are the other nine? Unexpressed gratitude, it communicates ingratitude. And so let's be the one that goes back. Let's be the one that reaches out. Let's be the one that remembered how grateful we really are. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, today we just collectively say thank you. Because without you, we can't even imagine how bad or depressing or hopeless our lives would be. And the people you placed around us, the opportunities you gave us, the landmines you helped us to avoid. Father, thank you, thank you, thank you. We know it's not enough to just hear your word, but help us to do what it says. Give us the wisdom to know who to be thankful for, and give us the courage to live out this message. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.